Morning, church. Let us open with a word of prayer. Lord God, thank you for today. Thank you for drawing us close to you through coming to this morning prayer. We ask that you to open our eyes, spiritual eyes, open our hearts, and use me to share your word that gives life and refresh us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last time I spoke, it seems a while ago, I tried to encourage you that in the midst of suffering, God is enough because he has not forgotten you. You're not alone. And this place that you are at in the suffering, it's not the end. So today, I will talk about the second part of the suffering series I got. And through this, I want to encourage you that when you encounter a wilderness experience or in spiritual dryness, there could be something beautiful waiting ahead of you. So I got the idea from reading a book called The Making of a Leader by Robert Clinton. He's a professor in Fuller. Used to be one of Pisan professor. And also, I think in the old days, this is a required reading for house church leader if you're interested. So in the book, it talks about wilderness experience, or the professor call it isolation process, where you might be going through a sickness, imprisonment, or perhaps simply a very hard time, or you have questions like, why am I stuck here, God? What am I doing here? Why are you silent, God? So in such time as these, you could experience confusion, a lot of emotional pain, insecurity about your identity, your faith, or you might even wonder if God is real or if you can trust him anymore. So may I encourage you that take heart. If you're in this season or if you think you are emerging into a season like this, the season of wilderness is temporary, and isolation can well be a season that sets you up for greater intimacy with God and a stimulus for great growth in your spiritual and character formation. So today, I'll call this sharing isolation transformation. Isolation transformation. And I'll base it on the passage related to Elijah. So if we consider Elijah before the battle on Mount Carmel with hundreds of Baal prophets in 1 Kings 18 to show that the God of Israel is real and powerful, you might recall that Elijah pulled pitchers and pitchers of water on the offering and also on the wood without setting fire under it. And he simply prayed and asked God to receive it as burnt offering. So how did he have so much faith that God will come through this? Through our naked eyes, it was only him against 450 prophets of Baal. And that is totally soaking wet. So really, God needs to just bring a fire to consume it all. So before Elijah had such faith, what did he do or what happened to prepare him to have so much faith? And when I look back to it, I would say that Elijah was going through isolation. Yes, he was going through isolation, 3 years of wilderness experience. And so if we turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, First Kings chapter 17, and I'll begin with reading verse 1 to 7. So 1 Kings 17, 1 to 7. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from here and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. So here, after Elijah announced a major drought, what happened to King Ahab? He went east of Jordan and hid himself in the wilderness, all alone. He just drank from the brook until it dried up, and ravens brought him food every day. So each day, in isolation, Elijah learned to depend and trust on God for food. You might be able to imagine that in this isolation process, he must have thought, "What if the ravens don't come today? What do I eat?" There must have been fear that surfaced. He has no one to talk to for days, weeks, or maybe even months. We don't know how long. And that is like solitary confinement in prison. And I don't know if you guys have been alone by yourself for a long time. It can drive people crazy, right? The only person Elijah could talk to was God. And I'm sure that there were lots of silence and doubts, like, if I heard God right. And he might have asked God, "Why am I here? What am I doing here? Can't you make better use of me, God? Am I not your prophet? Shouldn't I be prophesying rather than in the desert, waiting for ravens to give me something?" He probably have asked, "God, did I do something wrong? Why are you punishing me? Why are you sent me suffering like this?" And in, I think in fact, through all these things, if you have isolation process, isolation experience, you've probably gone through similar questions and thoughts in your mind as well. And for Elijah, over time, he has learned to trust God daily for his provision, and he become wholly dependent on him. So my first point of this sharing is that God can use your isolation to form greater dependence and trust in him. So God can use your isolation to form greater dependence and trust in him. If we continue the Bible passage and read with verse 8 to 15, we can see that God continues to allow the process of isolation to build up Elijah. So I'll read out verse 8 to 15. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread and in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first, and bring it out to me. And afterwards, you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and her household ate for many days. 16 as well. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. So when Elijah got a word to leave the ravens and go to this widow, he might have thought, great, I can leave this place of nowhere and receive food from a person. But when Elijah met the widow, she said she's on her last meal, ready to die from starvation. If I were Elijah, I must think, God, what are you doing to me? You told me to get food from her. Why doesn't she have anything? But then God gave Elijah the word that her flour and oil will not run out until the rain comes. So although we believe in a God of miracle, do we ask God, are you going to make this happen this time? We know you can do it, but are you going to make it happen? And also, when we have this kind of idea or this, or maybe even hear God's voice, we ask God, is it really you? Is it really you? So this passage show that God made use of the isolation experience to grow Elijah's trust in God and dependence on God by miraculously providing food for him daily for some 3 years through ravens and widow's bowls. So Elijah witnessed God's provision, miracle, faithfulness, and also in the next verse, 19 to 24, God built up faith in Elijah. Elijah was have the faith to also raise the widow's son from the dead. So all these, I would suggest, forms his trust in God and carry him to be a powerful vessel of God to encounter those prophets of Baal as well. So, some key learning points that we can take away from these passages is that your isolation experience can be an opportunity for transformation. Your isolation experience can be an opportunity for transformation. Second thing, and I guess people in SP know this as well, trusting God in small things, or maybe faithful in small things, is crucial before you can trust God in big things. Faithful in big things. So for example here, Elijah didn't trust God to get the food from the widow who has almost no food left. Do you think Elijah could have the faith to raise the widow's son from the dead? Or even to battle with the 450 prophets? So faithful in small things is very important. And maybe the last point from this passage is that I would say menial task, like very insignificant task that might seem meaningless, unskilled service, could be a basis of some profound spiritual and leader-making experience. So small things like Elijah did here, we can see that it's actually something that could build him up to show that God is making him to be a great leader and a spiritual giant as well. And the next part, I think I might need to give some sort of like definitions and as well. When I research about isolation's process further, I also came across a material by one of Professor Clinton's mentee called Dr. Shelley Trebeshk. She explained the isolation is a fourfold process which many leaders go through at least once in their lifetime. I thought it would be quite helpful to kind of explain these four stages before I talk about the next thing. So the four stages of isolation process are stripping, wrestling, intimacy, and future. So what are these things that he could use in isolation to turn the tough time into some great purpose to build you up and take you to the next level of your spiritual transformation? So stripping, what do I mean? In isolation, be it from family or because of poor health, imprisonment, discipline, study abroad, or like crisis or natural disaster, the person in isolation often strip of their identity in their work, or they get their values from, down to the core of who the person has been created to be by the Lord. And in this stripping process, there's often feelings of depression, insecurity, emotional pain. But the upside is that it prepares a person to want to go deep with God. And next stage, wrestling. So wrestling with God, turning to God for answers, looking for true identity apart from their accomplishments in life, could bring about confusion and spiritual hunger. This stage could lead to appreciation of the truth that nothing would satisfy and bring life but God. So that's the wrestling part. And the intimacy. So this stage is often encompassed openness, honesty, brokenness, and vulnerability. So expressing your feelings, heartfelt questions, character flaws to God and asking him to change them can be particularly painful. And because it's such a painful stage, many people don't actually stay in isolation long enough to get to this stage or experience this intimate stage for long, because it could be a bit too intense. The final stage of future, the person, the author talks about, the person needs to wait until God leads him or her out of isolation. And often people fell into temptation before God's timing for them to leave, and they will cut short of their transformation process. And so you don't get the full breakthrough that God had intended through the isolation. So by God's Spirit, God would gently give the person permission to begin to look forward and look outward to be released into the next stage of life by perhaps sending a divine contact or opportunities to match the vision that God has given through this transformation process. So if we apply these four stages to Elijah in 1 Kings 17, might require some imagination because the passage really don't talk about it that much, about stripping or wrestling for Elijah to reach this level of intimacy with God and make Elijah so bold to battle against 450 prophets. So I pick another Bible character to elaborate these four stages instead of Elijah. And I pick Moses to give an example. So when he was a prince of Egypt, the stripping phase removed his identity as a powerful Egyptian leader that took matters into his own hands to be a much older man shepherding flocks of sheep in a foreign land. And that was a stripping process for Moses. And then when Moses wrestled with God, when God called Moses to go back to Egypt and lead his people out of slavery. So that's the wrestling part. And then for the intimacy with God, you could argue that for Moses, there has been various occasions throughout his time as God shows signs and wonders and his power through Moses in the plagues of Egypt and also ultimately at Mount Sinai, where God shows his glory to Moses as well. And so the last point, his future is to instill the law and commandments into the lives of Israel, to set apart the nation of Israel to be a holy nation set apart for God. And similarly, another character, you could think about the fourth stage of isolation process could be Apostle Paul. So in his isolation experience, his identity as a Pharisee or Pharisee was stripped away. He wrestled with all the harm he had done against Jesus, whom he had persecuted, and regained his sight to be in relationship with God for the first time before he started his ministry to proclaim gospel to the Gentiles. So here, today, if you were in isolation process or if you are encountering isolation process, I just want to encourage you that if you depend on God, if you lean on God, some major transformation could happen in you spiritually. So this is my key encouragement. So may I invite Cardia to come up and Samuel as well to play a song. So in closing, please know that your isolation or wilderness experience doesn't have to be all bad. God can turn it into an opportunity for your transformation and bring about closeness with God. Faithful in small things is essential before you can be faithful in big things. And doing menial, boring, tedious tasks, perhaps your leader or your wife or other people ask you to do, could seem meaningless service to others, but could be a basis for some profound spiritual transformation experience as well.
Oh, oceans rise and thunders roar. I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are there.
There is
Lord God, thank you that you are there in good times, and even in our tough times, you are there with us. We might not be able to see it, but you are there working, loving us, transforming us, giving us a chance to have a bright future. Thank you for the hope in you. Yes, Lord, help us to lean on you, both in good times, bad times, normal times, for you are our source of strength and hope. And help us not to lose sight of that. In all things, good things, bad things, small things, you are working, you are building us up. Help us to say yes to you, even though we might not see the meaning to it initially. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let us turn to our corporate prayer. Today, right now, let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer, and especially those who are going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's also pray for those who have illnesses and who don't know Jesus, that God will reveal himself to them through dreams and visions, through you maybe, to share the gospel at his timing. Yes, and that they experience love God's love. In good times, bad times, yeah, tough line like this, they experience God's love and be touched and change. We continue to pray for our brother and sister in our community suffering from other infirmities. And yes, in some way they are isolated, like from people. Ask God to help them to be leaning on God. And God is making them more beautiful in this trying time. Praise God that the list, job list, look, the people searching for work, this list is shorter. Continue to contend for those who is looking for work as well. Today we pray for Japan and Cambodia, pray for P. Sophia, she's here in Hong Kong, that she's being loved and also that she's hearing what God wants to do, not only when she goes to Tokyo, but here right now in Hong Kong as well, that a team of people, intercessors, being pray up and preparing the grounds for SP Tokyo. Also pray for our missionary in Cambodia, Grace, as well as Oasis House, our partner. Let's continue to also pray for our Missions Council led by P. Sam. Pray for God to call up new Missions Council members that has his heart and bring about right knowledge and wisdom into the and contacts into the MC as well. Also, just remember, the Mongolia mission trip team is leaving today. Also, please lift them up. It's led by Sally. Please lift up local outreach team. Yes, pray for God's servant to join the team. And also pray that God gives the leaders the design, the vision, how to implement these different evangelism strategies in each of the ministry so that it's effective and change life. Please lift up Cadence for the foster and adoption ministry, and particularly pray for God to call more people to be serving in the relief family to support the ministry, as well as for the transitions of baby Luke in the new family, and as well as Polly and Andy's family to transition well and to rest well as the baby have left them into their forever family. Please also pray for the activities for tonight. For the IP team, we'll pray, have a prayer meeting here in the sanctuary. So pray that we hear God and pray according to His will. And pray for also for God's presence in the youth group gathering tonight, as well as SPU. For tonight's house church, pray that the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge will be so prevalent in house church that whatever struggles that we have and we can't overcome, that God will give these words to the people, His children that He loves so much, that they may experience God, they may encounter God and increase their faith as we receive such word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Yes, it's faith to rise. Lastly, let's lift up Hong Kong. For we see that the protests and the violence still happening, yet it's actually less and less people joined out to cause damage. Just continue to pray for a godly resolution. that God gives the idea for the leaders and to resolve, to have resolutions. Lord God, we thank you so much that today we could come together to pray, to hear your word, to be encouraged by you, to praise you, to seek after your heart. Lord God, thank you for filling us up so that we can keep running the race. Yes, Lord, continue to hear our prayer as we spend time to seek you, to contend for others. We thank you, Lord, for such time as this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.